Cast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Well, hello, friends. Here we are again, continuing on day two. Well, for some people, it's day two, you know. When we talk about the Far East, Vietnam and Australia and New Zealand and, you know, even India and so forth, it is already into day number two before the actual full moon. And we have quite a few things coming up this week. So it's really a very much a Gemini week. It's a complicated sign. There are actually, when you read the labors of Hercules, there are five different steps to the Gemini labor, and I think Tuya will deal with that somewhat when Friday comes. And you know, it's 5:45 GMT, 5:45 PM GMT that we'll be starting the actual full moon, which takes place at 7:12:14 GMT, and then we're doing the sacred pentagram this week, and that starts tomorrow night, our night anyway, at 6 p.m. GMT. So, and meanwhile, I'll continue with these sort of pre-Gemini full moons. So there's a lot of activity, and our usual ask programs will be suspended this week. It's, you know, let's stick with Gemini and go deeply into it. It's a sign, you know, that can be so abused. When I looked at the principal figures involved in so much of the political drama these days, they're all Geminis. I mean, it's just the great proportion of Geminis. And it's a sign that rules, let us say, the personality of the United States. And there's a lot of the slippery and insincere qualities about it, except for the fact that it also represents the head of the cosmic Christ. And so it's a great Ray 2 sign, which brings together the opposites and harmonizes them, except when it itself is involved, and then Pisces is the mediating sign bringing Gemini and Sagittarius together. Right. Okay. So Tuya is informing me that it's going to be at 5:40 and not 5:40. Well, you know, we'll 5:45 is probably how the message went out, and just come a little early, you know. Okay, friends. Now our keynote for tonight is a wonderful keynote related not only to the resurrection of Jesus from the tomb, probably under the instruction of the Christ himself, but it has to do with the seventh initiation, which lies before the Christ and before the Buddha, and as well, in its own way, before all of humanity as we enter the Aquarian Age in the right way. That's the important thing, entering in the right way and not giving in to the liabilities of Aquarius, which, good or bad, will spread everything everywhere. So we have to spread the good things and not those things which compromise humanity. So let us work together. And I'm very happy to see you all here. I won't, you know, call out your names and so forth, but I run my eyes over it all, and very happy to see you present. It's quite a preparation for this Gemini full moon. So we'll pull back from the personality. I'm going to kind of improvise as I go, you know, not necessarily say everything that's right here on this meditation. We'll pull back from the personality and we'll recognize the instrumentality of the etheric physical body and of the astral sentient body and of the lower mind. They are instrumental to what we really are internally, the consciousness, the being. As a matter of fact, even the causal body is instrumental. Even the triad is instrumental. Even the monad, the monadic vehicle, is instrumental, meaning that what we are is a far deeper thing than the vehicle being used. So let's just understand that at the very least, we are the soul in incarnation. And we share this sense of soul, really, with all men and women of goodwill, certainly with all who are meditating with us right now, all members of the new group of world servers, and really with every human being, whether good or bad or indifferent, you know, finally, when it comes to evil, only personalities are evil. But the inner human being is not. There may be lack of development in the causal body, and some affecting of that unfoldment. But when you start getting into the higher reaches of things, everybody is the one being. So just try to get a sense that that is actually true. And when that begins to dawn on us, this it really is the beginning of monadic awareness, actually. And there's a oneness that's very hard to describe, but it comes over us and we realize not only are we all in this together, but we are one substanding consciousness and being. And so we look around and we look at all perceptions and see them as infuseptions. And that allows us to say a great second ray mantram, naught is but me, naught is but me, the capital M. So if we can get it beyond the perception of separateness, which the lower mind gives us, then we're doing very well and we're on the way towards an eventual monadic awareness. And we will be living in a state of, well, at first maybe harmonized duality, which Gemini helps so much with, and then in a state of unity, and finally oneness. Harmony, unity, oneness. And the heart center is involved. And without it, identification does not characterize the perception. And these days we're busy building the Rainbow Bridge in several of its sections. The very beginning is the connection of ourselves as a personality focused on the mental plane, lower mental plane, with the egoic lotus. So that soul infusion can occur. And we can reach out also as if from the center of the egoic lotus towards the monastic permanent atom, the lowest part of the spiritual triad. We use the higher mind to get into the abstract mind, and there is a difference between the two. And then, of course, Master DK's method that he presented to us for the building of the Antikarana. So as if from the lower personality through a group of retained energies on the lower mental plane, fourth subplane, and on into the triad and toward the monad, the multicolored rainbow bridge is visualized. All the colors of the rainbow are there, but particularly the color of your soul ray and personality ray. And when doing the group meditation, particularly the color indigo, the major spiritual color of our planet and also of the solar logos. So we're reaching into very subtle spaces, and we hope that abstract understanding and wisdom, Buddhic wisdom and spiritual will, may come forth and begin to enter our normal consciousness. So we'll project a line of brilliant white light across the bridge, which is largely indigo in hue. And we'll say the second ray mantram, I see the greatest light, trying to really come in touch with this light of Shambhala. For us, that is the greatest light. I mean, the light of the soul is powerful. The light of the triad, the light of the monad, of course, increasingly intense, but well, even it doesn't end with Shambhala. Remember that Taurus is the mother of illumination. There's always a greater light. So however we want to conceive that great light, we sound the Om outwardly on a second ray note, and inwardly we pronounce, I see the greatest light, and see if we can sense the projection upward, inward, upward, and the descent of some kind of evoked response from the higher levels of our nature. We kind of hold ourselves open to the evoked response from areas of the triad that we are holding in mind. We'll never reach the first subplane, but there can be an evoked response. This light that we are seeking is so subtle. It has to make its impression finally in the head center and descending down through the other chakras. We want to be in that alignment. So much about the science of relations can be learned in Gemini. It's always a very illuminated time of the year, at least in the northern hemisphere. The period, of course, applies to the entire globe. and the light will reveal unexpected things. Things that have more to do with the kingdom of heaven than with our usual scope of consciousness. And on a very subtle level, a kind of wisdom will be percolating into our consciousness, and a kind of purposeful power and will to which we are not accustomed usually. And an ability to think the great thoughts. We have projected ourselves into an area where we will find the Buddha. He's even really beyond that. The Christ, the Chohans, the Masters. Let us offer our salutations, our willingness to cooperate to the Buddha and the Christ and to the entire spiritual hierarchy. Salutations to the great Lord of Wisdom and Light, the Buddha. Salutations to the head of the hierarchy, the Christ. Salutations to Master M, KH, and DK. Salutations to our own master, if we know who that may be, or suspect, and salutations to the entire spiritual hierarchy, possessed of triadal consciousness on its way to monadic awareness. In this internal quiet, we can be more sensitive than usual to the presence of the energies which the Christ presents on behalf of humanity to the Buddha and to Shambhala. And beneath all the rioting and the loss of control and the tumult of cacophonous forces, this quiet of communion between the higher and the lower does exist. So it's the festival of the Christ that we are thinking about now. The head of the cosmic Christ is Gemini, and the keynote, I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. This is a mantra that we want to see strengthened over the next several days. It's a duality. With the higher of the pairs of opposites regarding the lower of the pair of opposites. But we begin to know who is the real inner human being. And we feel our light growing even as our mistaken identification with the lower human being is waning. And to bring these dualities together, Mercury, Venus are so important, and the Earth is the field upon which this reconciliation of the opposites is needed. We become the luminous soul. And if we follow the teaching of the brothers in the light, the Christ and the Buddha, representing the brotherhood in spiritual union, we will more rapidly end the warfare between the vertical pairs of opposites. We really are responsible for absorbing as much of the teaching of the Buddha as we can and as much of the teaching of the Christ. And that teaching is not over. They will be cooperating again in the future. The way has been made clear for us. And we can reconcile the hemispheres, reconcile love and light and wisdom together. Venus will be so important in this task, not the quarrel of the brothers, but their unification, and finally, their recognized oneness. So always, every day, let's make sure that we are really aligned with the soul aspect of our nature. We, the outer man, aligned with we, the inner human being, the divine part. Now we're preparing for the day of the full moon itself, when the Christ preaches the last sermon of the Buddha, just to show the continuity. The Lord Maitreya took over the headship of hierarchy when the Buddha went on to a still higher place. There's Gautama Buddha and Maitreya Buddha, and they work cooperatively. And at this luminous time of the year, we can be illumined by both the Vaisak, or whatever it has become, the festival of the Buddha, and then the festival of the Christ, of humanity, the Asala festival sometimes called. The festival of goodwill. So, as we prepare for the day itself, which for us is Friday. And it's in the evening here, but other times, other places. As we prepare for that, we think about something offered from the last sermon of the Buddha. We were overcoming the body's cravings when we discussed this last night and pondered it, and now this is a little different emphasis. So he's speaking to Ananda, his closest disciple, that while subject to sensations, let him, that is the bhikshu, the disciple, continue so to regard the sensations that he, being strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful, may, whilst in the world, overcome the grief which arises from these sensations. We can see the great healing power of the Buddha through strenuousness, thoughtfulness, and mindfulness. While subject to sensations, that's all of us, of course, let us so regard the sensations that we, being strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful, may, whilst in the world, overcome the grief which arises from the sensation. So let us pause here and affirm in ourselves the fact that we can be strenuous, thoughtful, mindful. You know, we can see the relationship to the third ray here, the Buddha's monadic ray, in overcoming the grief which arises from sensations. We can understand this, perhaps, and resolve that it shall be so. So the Buddha, we're told, had the first ray personality and the third ray monad. We can see second ray soul. We can see all of these blending here in this advice. And really dedicate our lives to it so that we can emerge into the light of wisdom and cast that light upon others to help them emerge from the darkness of Maya, glamour, and illusion. So let us have a profound gratitude to the Buddha for all he has done to illumine humanity, and we turn our attention to the Christ and with the utmost heartfelt attentiveness of which we are capable, we listen inwardly, imagining that we hear the Christ sounding the great invocation. Of course, it would be in his own specific language. Some say it is the Pali in which this is sounded, but we imagine in our own language. So at first he sounds the great invocation alone, and we imagine. So this was an act of imagination. And again, listening inwardly and with great care, we imagine the Christ and the entire hierarchy intoning the second stanza of the Great Invocation. And we contemplate the deep significance of these words. the three great lords, the Chohans, the masters, all together on behalf of the plan, on behalf of humanity, in sight of the Buddha and of Shambhala. What a great power all together. This is on the way. The return or reappearance of the Christ is on the way, and it is a major planetary event. And will help so many of humanity enter the kingdom of souls. And many things will be changed upon our planet. And so many human beings will be elevated. Really, the entirety of humanity will be elevated as a whole. And then we ponder today's keynote, which is resurrection, an amazing idea, emphasizing the new note of livingness of the living Christ and of that life more abundantly, which wars, privation, and suffering have made possible by forcing a return to the real values. We're familiar with the resurrection of Jesus, no doubt with the assistance of the Christ. We're familiar, well, at least as a concept, with the idea that resurrection is the name of the seventh initiation, which the Christ is undertaking, along with the Buddha. And now, there's the resurrection of humanity as a whole, its upliftment into true humanhood, into the higher aspect of the fourth kingdom, and for those who can, into the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of souls, resurrection. The rising again, not of the distorted teaching that tells us that the dead body will arise glorified from the grave. It's a matter of consciousness and not being trapped in any kind of form that should be left behind. But humanity thinks too concretely. The abstract mind is not yet functioning as it should. And resurrection seems to mean something very concrete to many. But it really is an elevation of consciousness. And the process of initiation is the process leading to resurrection. It's a great solar initiation. It's ruled by the second ray, actually. Mastership by the first ray, showmanship by the third ray and resurrection by the second. And yet the first ray sign, Aries, is definitely involved. And it occurs within the Sea of Fire, ruled by Leo. But staying practical about it, humanity must rise out of identification with the lower form. So we envision the spirit of resurrection and a response to the life more abundantly shed abroad by Aquarius. This life more abundantly is growing in ourselves and in all human beings. Aquarius, Shambhala, the life more abundantly. And we imagine how we may express this new note of livingness. Humanity has undergone a great depression, but in the seventh ray age, with the animation of the etheric body from the soul and from the monad, a new electrical livingness will characterize us. And we should remember this as we awaken every day. Are we in the livingness? It will make a great difference in the quality of our lives, the radiation of our lives, our service as radiation, as our service as livingness. And so, with these thoughts in mind, we affirm our solidarity with the Buddha, Christ, and the assembled hierarchy. And we seek to identify with them and to merge our purpose in their purpose. Not our own selfish purpose, but they come first, and the Lord of the world comes first, and the planetary logos still more comes first, and the solar logos still more, and we become, to the degree possible, representatives of that living purpose, driven by the great will. And so we pause for a moment to bless the world in silence, merged with the two great teachers of our time, the Buddha and the Christ, blessing the world, And we pause for a moment of appreciation of the illumined, loving energies of the constellation Gemini. And feel ourselves imbued with these energies which are growing in strength as the full moon approaches. And as if in union with the Christ, the hierarchy, and all the disciples of the world, overseen by the Buddha in Shambhala, we sound together the second stanza of the great invocation, sensing the manner in which hierarchical love leads to life more abundantly and the resurrection of the spirit. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. Thank you, friends, and we do continue tomorrow night, same time, at least our night, 8 p.m. GMT, and at 6 p.m. GMT, we will have the day one of the sacred pentagram meditation for Gemini, and we're all moving towards the full moon at 5:40, 5:45. On Friday, p.m. GMT, and then the distribution, and then on Sunday, our Esoteric United Nations work on the Zoom format, and we'll try to get everything out to you accordingly. Appreciate your presence, and just try to get as deeply as you can into these such revelatory Gemini energies. They really do bring about the unification if used correctly, wisely, rightly. So love and many blessings from Tuya and myself and from the whole team that brings you these broadcasts and webinars and so forth. And we will resume tomorrow. The theme will be contact. So we've gone through the love theme, the resurrection theme, and now the theme of contact. So we'll be seeing you then, and thank you so much for your presence.